In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about abdominoplasty, also referred as a tummy tuck. And the topics we're going to go through is, what is an abdominoplasty? Is an abdominoplasty right for me? What type of abdominoplasties are there? How do we decide which abdominoplasty is appropriate for you? And a couple of examples to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Welcome to the Surgical Podcast. This is Dr. Bernard Beldholm. I'm a registered medical practitioner, FRACS, specialist surgeon, and have a medical registration number of MAD00011862074. The content on this podcast is considered adult content. This podcast focuses mainly on post-weight loss surgery and surgery post-pregnancy. These surgeries range from abdominoplasty, which is a tummy tuck, belt lapectomy, a body lift, fleur-de-lis abdominoplasty, brachioplasty, arm lift, or thighplasty, which is inner thigh lift. I will also discuss breast surgery in the context of changes post-weight loss and changes post-pregnancy. What is an abdominoplasty? Well, in simple terms, it's an operation that removes loose skin and tightens muscle separation if it's present. And if we do liposuction, then we are also removing fat. So we're removing fat, we're removing tissue, and we are tightening muscles. So that's the simple explanation. Now, we can also repair hernias as part of it and do other things as part of it as well. But that's the basic of an abdominoplasty. Now, is an abdominoplasty right for me? There are two types of patients that I see mainly. So which are the post-weight loss. So they're the ones that have lost significant amount of skin, significant amount of weight, and have a significant amount of skin to remove. And then there's the patients that are post-pregnancy with muscle separation and loose skin after pregnancies. So these are kind of the two main categories that I treat. And if you have loose skin, if you have muscle separation, if you have excess fat with loose skin, then an abdominoplasty may be right for you. Now, muscle separation is also referred as diastasis recti. Now, what type of abdominoplasty are there? So, now this is something that there's actually many, many, many different kinds of abdominoplasties. There's lots of different tweaks. Each surgeon has their own little unique ways of doing an abdominoplasty. And there's probably more than 30 different kinds of abdominoplasties described in the literature, at least. Now, the key thing is that you're going to have to use the correct technique and the correct abdominoplasty for the changes that your body has. So it's very, very important that I see you in person and that we actually assess these and make sure that you are getting the changes that you're after. So the basics of the abdominoplasties are, they are the mini abdominoplasty, the full abdominoplasty, the extended abdominoplasty, the fleur-de-lis abdominoplasty, belt lapectomy, reverse abdominoplasty, apronectomy as well. So these are like the basic categories. There are certainly lots of variations within these categories. Now, with each abdominoplasty, we can either cut the skin without doing liposuction, or we can add liposuction as well. We can repair muscles or we can leave the muscles alone. It just depends on if you have diastasis recti or not. Now, how do we decide which abdominoplasty is appropriate for you? So, every patient is different, and there is no such thing as a standard abdominoplasty or fit all size abdominoplasty. Each patient's abdominoplasty will be different, and the assessment for what you need is critical to get a good result and get a correct expectation of the result. This is why I assess the abdomen and decide on which abdominoplasty is right for you. And it's also why it's so important to have an in-person assessment before we decide on what abdominoplasty is right for you. So there are four areas that I assess before I decide which type of abdominoplasty is the best one for you. So we assess the skin, We assess muscle separation or diastasis recti. I assess the abdominal scars and previous operations and the fat distribution. So if we have a look at this, so skin. So obviously if you're post-pregnant or you're post-weight loss, you will have excess skin. Now where that skin will determine, where that skin is on your abdomen will determine which area needs to be cut out and which area needs to be tightened. So if you have just a little bit of skin overhanging a C-section cut, you might have just a mini tummy tuck and that would be great. If you have lots of skin hanging on the upper and lower abdomen, you might have a standard abdominoplasty. If you have skin that are hanging on the sides of your abdomen as well as the front of your abdomen, you might get a extended tummy tuck. Now, if you have loose skin in the middle of your tummy as well as significant lower abdominal skin, this is especially in the post-weight loss patients, then you're probably going to be better off with a fleur-de-lis abdominoplasty. So that's a really critical assessment of where you need to be. Now, the other thing is that some patients come in and say, oh, I just want to have a mini tummy tuck. And when I assess them, they have loose skin in the upper as well as lower abdomen, or they might have like muscle separations in the upper abdomen as well. Then I go, okay, well, we can certainly do that if that's what you want, but you're going to get a really poor result because you're going to have excess skin in the upper abdomen and a tight lower abdomen. So it's not going to be the right operation for you. So that's why it's really important to assess this. Now, the second area that we assess is muscle separation. So also referred as diastasis recti. Now, the muscle separation can be in the upper abdomen. So muscle separation is where the rectus abdominis muscles are separated and you get a bulging in the middle. And that can lead to sometimes a backache, incontinence, and pain. Now, it can be located in the upper abdomen, the lower abdomen, or in both the upper and lower abdomen. So, for example, if you have a little bit of lower abdominal skin and you only have muscle separations in the lower abdomen, you might be okay for a mini abdominoplasty. But if you have upper abdominal muscle separation, you're more likely to need a standard or a full or an extended abdominoplasty. Now, the next area is abdominal scars and previous operations. Now, most commonly, a lot of patients that I see will have laparoscopic surgery from a sleeve gastrectomy or band surgery. These are not that important. They're small cuts and they don't really interfere with how we plan the operation. But things like open gallbladder operation, previous cuts in the middle of your tummy, previous C-sections, abdominoplasty scars, all these things will need to be taken into account when we are doing the abdominoplasty. For example, the old open gallbladder cut is in the upper right abdomen. It can interfere with blood supply to your abdominal skin, which can cause necrosis and complications if we do an abdominoplasty. So it's important to take this into account when we plan the operation. Some will have had umbilical hernias, for example, so you'll have a cut around the belly button that may also interfere with blood supply to the belly button. The other thing is that if you've had a vertical or up and down incision in your abdomen, sometimes even though you might be suitable for a standard or an extended tummy tuck, we may do a fleur-de-lis because you already got the cut there and you're going to get a better result cutting that excess skin out in the middle, and you already got a cut there, so it doesn't really matter that we're doing an extra cut. So those are all taken into account when planning the operation. Now, final thing, fat distribution. Now, I always do a BMI, which is body mass index, for all my patients. However, it doesn't really tell you everything. So if you have a very high BMI, obviously that means that you have excess fat. But then you have to think, where is that excess fat? Is it internal fat? Is it external fat? Now, when I say external fat, I mean on your above your abdominal muscles. If it's above the abdominal muscles, then we can use liposuction to remove it. However, if you are in a really high BMI level, then you may want to have bariatric or obesity surgery first before you have an abdominoplasty. So that's something really important to think about. So those are the four areas that I think about when I do the assessment for the abdominoplasty. Now, let's take a couple of examples. Example number one. So if you've had a C-section and you've got a small amount of skin overhanging the lower C-section cut with no muscle separation, and you do have a little bit of excess fat on your tummy, we can plan for a mini abdominoplasty and include vasal liposuction to get rid of the fat. This operation addresses the lower abdominal skin as well as the excess fat. Now, example number two. You have a significant amount of loose skin on the upper and lower abdomen that does not extend to your hip areas. It's mainly in the central abdominal area. There is muscle separation in the upper and lower abdomen, and you have a significant amount of excess fat. We can on the outside, external fat. So you may be suitable for a full abdominoplasty that includes vasar liposuction and diastasis recti repair. This means repositioning your belly button and a cut from hip to hip, or usually a little bit past the hip, and you will have a few little cuts for the liposuction as well. Then, example number three, you have lost a significant amount of weight and are now within the normal BMI range, or even a little bit less. You are minimal amount of fat in the abdominal region, but you have a significant amount of loose skin in the vertical as well as horizontal direction. There's no muscle separation present. For this appearance, you may be suitable for a fleur-de-lis abdominoplasty without liposuction or muscle repair. This cuts away loose skin in the central abdomen as well as the lower abdominal area. These are some examples of the way I plan my abdominoplasties. The assessment and expectations are really important to take into account, and really an in-person consultation is really important. And what we do at the moment, we do a minimum of two consultations. One has to be in person and one can be with a Zoom call. Call us on 02-4934-5700. That's 4934-5700. Or you can book online. You see a link in the description. I am based in Newcastle and the Hunter Valley in Australia. This is the disclaimer required by APRA. Surgery is a serious decision. You can find more information about risks, complications, and recovery on my website, beldholm.com.au. All surgery is performed by me, Dr. Bernard Beldholm, and my medical registration number is MAD0001186. 274, and my qualifications are, I'm an MBBS, BSc doctor, and I have an FRSES, so Fellow of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons. I'm a registered medical practitioner, a specialist surgeon, a specialist registration in surgery, general surgery. The content on this podcast is considered adult content. Individual results may vary. All surgery carries risks. You should seek a second opinion before proceeding. The opinions that are expressed on this podcast are those of me, Dr. Bernard Beldholm, and those opinions may differ from other doctors' opinions. The information provided on and through this podcast is not medical advice and should not be relied upon. It is best effort and for general information only. Do not use this podcast as a substitute for medical advice or self or other diagnosis. Any surgical invasive procedure carries risks. Before proceeding, you should seek a second opinion from a qualified health practitioner. Results, recovery, and potential complications will vary from each individual patient. Photos and videos featured in my social media channels do not guarantee, you're not guaranteed the same result, that is, as they will vary from patient to patient. Content on our Instagram page and other social media pages is published with the consent of our patients or my patients. The content featured in general in nature and does not constitute medical advice. Immediate post-op results may differ from final results. See you in the next podcast.